Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. How to Disagree Better by Julia Minson is a practical, research-informed guide to handling conflict without damaging trust. Minson, a Harvard Kennedy School professor and behavioral scientist, argues that disagreement is unavoidable in families, workplaces, and public life. Yet many of us approach it with the wrong goal, trying to win. The book reframes effective disagreement as a learnable communication skill centered on showing visible receptiveness to an opposing view. Rather than asking readers to abandon their convictions, it focuses on how to express them in ways that reduce defensiveness and keep conversations productive. Drawing on behavioral science insights about why people become entrenched, Minson offers tools and language choices that signal openness, lower the temperature, and make it more likely that both sides will stay engaged. The overall purpose is to help readers navigate high-stakes conversations with less drama and more impact by shifting from combat to collaboration, even when genuine differences remain. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, disagreement as a skill, not a personality trait. A central move of the book is to treat disagreement as something people can practice and improve, not as a fixed trait like being naturally diplomatic or naturally combative. Minson emphasizes that conflict is essential to good decisions and healthy relationships, because avoiding it can lead to silence, backchanneling, and weak choices that never get stress tested. The problem is not the presence of disagreement, but the way it is conducted. Many conversations collapse into status battles where each side tries to prove competence or moral correctness. By presenting disagreement as a set of behaviors, the book makes progress feel attainable. Readers are encouraged to focus on what they can control in real time, how they speak, what they signal, and whether they are creating a conversation the other person is willing to continue. This mindset supports learning and iteration. Instead of measuring success by whether someone changes their mind immediately, the book points toward outcomes like maintained respect, continued dialogue, and decisions that benefit from openly aired differences. That framing is especially relevant in workplaces where productive dissent improves judgment and innovation. Secondly, conversational receptiveness and why it changes outcomes. Minson places conversational receptiveness at the center of effective disagreement. Receptiveness is not the same as agreeing or surrendering a position. It is the ability to communicate, in observable ways, that you are engaging with the other person's perspective. The book argues that people respond not only to the content of an argument, but also to the interpersonal cues around it, whether they feel heard, respected, and treated as rational. When those cues are missing, even strong evidence can trigger defensiveness and entrenchment. Receptiveness addresses this by making listening legible. That can include acknowledging what you understand about the other view, highlighting overlap in goals or values, and asking questions that clarify rather than corner. By shifting the interaction from threat to collaboration, receptiveness increases the chance that both parties will share information, remain open to nuance, and keep talking. The emphasis is practical. This is framed as something you can do in a tense moment, not a vague instruction to be nicer. The goal is to preserve trust while still allowing honest disagreement and clear advocacy. Thirdly, from winning to understanding, redefining the goal of an argument. The book challenges the common assumption that the purpose of disagreement is to persuade, win, or deliver the definitive argument that forces the other person to concede. Minson suggests that this competitive posture often backfires, particularly on identity-relevant topics where beliefs are tied to values, group membership, or professional pride. When someone senses that the conversation is designed to defeat them, they have strong incentives to resist, rationalize, or disengage. A more durable goal is understanding, learning what the other person is protecting, what they are optimizing for, and what experiences inform their view. Understanding does not require endorsement. Instead, it creates a platform where hard truths can be exchanged without triggering immediate escalation. This goal shift also makes disagreement more useful. In teams, it supports better decision-making because dissent can surface risks and alternatives. In personal relationships, it reduces the pressure to score points and increases the chance of finding workable compromises. The book promotes measuring success by whether the conversation strengthens both parties' willingness to talk again, since repeated. Respectful dialogue is often what enables change over time. Fourthly, language and behaviors that make listening visible. Minson emphasizes that in conflict, silent listening is often misread. People in a heated exchange typically look for explicit evidence that their view is being taken seriously, and they can interpret neutrality as dismissal. The book therefore focuses on concrete ways to make engagement visible through language and interaction choices. These include statements that accurately reflect the other person's concerns, signals of respect for their reasoning, and expressions of shared purpose. Even small linguistic shifts can matter, such as using we to underscore joint goals, or adding also to acknowledge common ground while maintaining a difference. This approach is not about performative agreement. It is about removing unnecessary friction so that the substantive disagreement can be addressed. The book also highlights the importance of asking genuine questions that invite elaboration, not trapdoors that lead to gotchas. By showing the work of understanding, a speaker can lower the interpersonal stakes and make it easier to exchange information. In practical terms, these behaviors help prevent spirals where each side becomes more certain of their own correctness and less curious about what they might be missing. Lastly, applying the approach in workplaces, families, and civic life, How to Disagree better positions its tools as broadly usable across contexts. From everyday family conflict to high-stakes professional conversations and polarized public discourse, in workplaces, the emphasis on receptiveness helps leaders and colleagues handle dissent without punishing it, which supports psychological safety while still allowing rigorous debate. Teams can benefit when disagreement is surfaced directly, rather than through side conversations that erode trust. In families and friendships, the same skills help prevent disagreements from becoming character judgments, keeping the relationship intact even when resolution is incomplete. In civic life, receptiveness can reduce the tendency to treat opposing views as incomprehensible or malicious, creating room for dialogue across values. Minson's framing is pragmatic. The goal is not to eliminate conflict, but to make it less destructive and more informative. Across settings, the reader is encouraged to focus on controllable, trainable behaviors that keep the door open to continued interaction. The book's promise is incremental but meaningful. You may not convert someone in a single talk, but you can improve the quality of the exchange and increase the chance of better decisions and healthier relationships over time. In conclusion, this book is well-suited for readers who regularly face tense conversations and want tools that are both humane and practical managers trying to encourage productive dissent. Teammates navigating conflict under pressure, couples and families stuck in recurring arguments, and anyone concerned about rising polarization. Its key benefit is that it offers a realistic alternative to debate culture. Instead of promising that you can talk someone into submission with perfect logic, it emphasizes what you can reliably influence whether the other person experiences you as engaged, respectful, and worth talking to again. That shift can improve immediate conversations by lowering defensiveness, and it can also create the long-term conditions where learning and compromise become possible. The book stands out in the communication and conflict resolution space because it foregrounds a specific behavior-based idea: conversational receptiveness. Many books encourage empathy or active listening in general terms. Minson focuses on making receptiveness visible and measurable in how you speak. That makes the guidance easier to practice in real time. Ultimately, How to Disagree better makes a case that strong relationships and strong decisions require disagreement, and that the difference between progress and drama often lies in the signals we send while we argue. If you would like to support Julia Minson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.